This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, December 7th, it tis the holiday season here on another Patriots.com roster report presented by Sullivan Tire. If you need those winter tires, you know, snow's starting to come, don't be afraid to check out your local Sullivan Tire dealership. But I'm back here with my friend Paul Perillo. We are here to break down the transactions of the week, and we have some big name and big notorious transactions this week. We'll start on the lesser of those. The Patriots signed a couple players to the practice squad. I probably should have practiced this before I went on the air. Offensive lineman Tommy Draheem was added to the practice squad, as was offensive lineman Colin Miller. Draheem is 23, was originally signed by Green Bay as a rookie free agent out of San Diego State in May of 2012. 6'4", 309 pounds, released by Green Bay following training camp, was on the Seattle practice squad for a week in September. Miller is 25, was signed by the Steelers as a rookie free agent out of Central Michigan, July of 2011. 6'3", 300 pounder, was released by the Steelers in training camp and was with Oakland for a portion of the season. But the bigger news of the week is the addition of Dante Stallworth, the veteran receiver added to the roster on December 4th because Julian Edelman was placed on injured reserve with a broken foot following the Miami game. He dealing with his second broken extremity, I guess, or whatever they call it, digit of the season, having the hand issue earlier in the year. He lands on IR, and the Patriots are a little thin at receiver, so they bring back Dante Stallworth, who was obviously with the team in training camp, had worked out for the team prior to the game in Miami last week, and obviously was with the team in 2007 as a part of that record-breaking offense. Paul Perillo, Dante Stallworth, given the injuries coming off a Miami game in which Tom Brady threw 31 passes that were targeted for either Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. 20 of those were completions. 20 of his 24 completions went to those two players. What kind of a role could you envision for Dante Stallworth as the team heads into arguably its most difficult game of the season and maybe one of the best in the AFC this season?
And it's interesting because you have on one side his obvious familiarity with what is going on here. Both parties, Tom Brady and Stallworth, talked about that this week. So you could see him sort of jumping in a little bit more quickly than most guys just arriving would. But on the other side, I don't necessarily think he's the kind of receiver who's best equipped to handle some of the things that a guy like Julian Edelman had been doing. To me, he's a guy you want to send down the field, you know, two or three times a game, and maybe you have an opportunity to hit one, and that's what I would, and that's what I think that we'll see on Monday night with him. If he's going to make an impact, I think he's going to make a 30, 40, 50 yard catch, but I don't think he's going to be able to pile up say five or six catches and be a true another additional weapon for Tom Brady. I don't really see that happening.
We should say, and I know it was way back when, that some of his success on quote-unquote big plays back in the day of 07 came on broken tackles. So some of those plays, he can catch it at 12, 15 yards.
He was good after the catch. Good
and
point.
Keep going. So, you know, a 50-yard play might not necessarily mean it's going 45 yards in the air. Something to keep an eye on. In conjunction with the Edelman move, another topic this week obviously branching off from there, is punt returns, where Julian Edelman has obviously been among the best for the last three or four years, has had a touchdown each of the last three seasons, has become the primary punt returner, the job previously held by Wes Welker. And one of the talking points this week is trying to limit Wes Welker, who we just talked about is sort of, you know, with Hernandez, the core of your passing attack right now, knocking on the door of another 100-catch season. Is there anyone else, Paul Perillo, who you think on this roster could, should, or might return punts, or is it simply a job that Wes Welker has to do?
I think it's a job that Wes Welker has to do. I don't think you want to put a guy back there who has, if any at all, very, very little experience handling punts in game action. There are a couple of candidates of guys that did it a little bit in preseason.
Hernandez.
Training camp. Yeah, Aaron Hernandez.
Might as well, you know, we'll rest Welker by putting the other guy at risk.
But, you know, Patrick Chung would be a guy who
has
done a little of it, hasn't really played a huge role on defense. I think he could be a guy, but he really has not ever done it in a real game. Maybe in a preseason game, but not in a regular season game. I'm not sure I want to take that risk. I'm pretty sure with Wes Welker, he might not hit a dynamic big play at this stage of the season, obviously at this stage of his career. But I can't even recall one. I was going to say with very few exceptions, I can't recall a single time that he mishandled one.
No.
So I think ball security
he's
would have
had
to
a couple,
be
and he rehandles it.
Yeah.
I can envision
maybe
a couple
bobbled
play,
it
yeah,
right to his feet
yeah.
and just fell on it. I just think that he would provide Belichick with the most peace of mind, and I think that's what Bill generally goes with.
I agree with you, and I also think, given the offense, given what they do, I think even if he's back there, you're going to see primarily fair catches, even if it's not necessarily a total fair catch situation.
Yeah, you get a low-line drive, he might run up and catch it and take something, but other than that, I think he'd err on the side of
caution.
Fair
catches, or if he's near the sideline, he'll catch it, duck out of bounds after 6 yards, whatever it may be. And I don't think you will see an alternate option next week, you know, against the Texans. I think maybe in that Miami or Jacksonville stretch, you could see a guy like Chung get a few. But I think with these huge games coming up against really good teams where one bobble, one possession, one turnover could really swing the game, I think there's very good chance that all or most of the punt returns will be Wes Welker, and most of them will be fair catches, and they'll hand the ball to Tom Brady and say, go drive 70 yards and get the touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I think that makes the most sense.
One final move that came on that December 4th slew of releases was Mitch Petras, the offensive lineman who'd been here for a couple weeks and played a little bit as a reserve. He was quickly claimed by Paul who?
Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans quickly claimed Mitch Petras off of waivers when he was made available. And the result of those moves is a net loss of one player, meaning they have one open roster spot, 52 players on the quote-unquote active roster right now, but Brandon Bolden is eligible, is no longer part of a four-game suspension. They have a roster exemption for him, so he could be added to the active roster for Monday night's game against the Texans, and I would have to think that's a distinct possibility at this point.
And he's been practicing today's practice, Friday. Real only one missing was Rob Gronkowski. So even Nick McDonald, who had missed some practice time, I think, on Thursday.
Yes.
He was back out there today. So, you know, Bolden's apparently ready physically. I know when he was suspended, he was dealing with a knee injury. So,
correct.
It looks like that is behind him. And I think the Patriots will have a pretty full complement of players available for them on their active 53-man roster. It looks like Gronkowski will be the only guy definitively out at this point.
We'll go quickly on a rundown because the Monday night game, the practice report this week as of Friday, is not the final one of the week. It's sort of the second, the usual Thursday-type injury report. So we'll run down what they issued on Thursday in terms of player participation. They had a walkthrough on Wednesday. Obviously, everything sort of pushed back one day thanks to the Monday night kickoff. As Paul said, Rob Gronkowski has not practiced on either Thursday or Friday as he returns from the broken forearm that he had surgery on. Reports have indicated that he has his cast removed and is now kind of recovering without a cast, so moving towards getting back to action possibly, but not this week, it doesn't look like. Nick McDonald, who missed practice on Thursday with a shoulder injury after playing a reserve role against the Dolphins, is back on the practice field today. And the other guys who were limited at portions of practice this week include Ron Brace with his elbow, Patrick Chung with his shoulder hamstring, Dan Conley with the back injury that actually forced him to the sideline in that Miami game and actually forced both McDonald and Marcus Cannon into action at various times. Aaron Hernandez with his ankle injury continues to be limited, although he looked healthier than he has maybe since opening day against the Dolphins. Had 97 yards receiving as one of only two options that Brady really turned to. Dante Hightower, the hamstring, limited. Chandler Jones returned to the practice field this week on a limited basis after missing the last two-plus games with that ankle injury suffered against the Colts. Looks like he will get back out there. That was the report from Comcast Sportsnet New England, or whatever their acronym is, as Fred Kirsch would say, CSNNNESE.com. Brandon Lloyd with his knee injury remains limited. Kyle Love, knee injury limited. It looks like that has actually gotten a little worse in recent weeks. He didn't start last week, was a reserve player. He had been on the injury report for the bulk of the year with the knee injury, but maybe that's gotten a little bit worse over the last couple weeks. Something to keep an eye on. He's been such a mainstay
Especially this week with
Arian Foster. 20 carries a game, baby, right at you. Logan Mankins is the other big returnee this week. Again, there are reports that he is expected to play Monday night. He's missed the last few weeks with the calf and ankle injuries. We know he's had other injuries throughout the year. I think he had a hip at one point. He has the knee injuries recovering from. But he's back on the practice field, looks like, against a formidable matchup with J.J. Watt on that left side with he and Nate Solder. Looks like you might get your best offensive lineman back out there at left guard, and that would allow Donald Thomas to potentially, who's played so well at that left guard spot, he may be an option on the right side if McDonald and Conley are banged up over there and you need to kind of go down the depth chart of Dante Scarnecchia's squad. Brandon Spikes, interesting this week as you head into a run-heavy offense. Not only does he have the knee injury that he's been dealing with for a while, but they've added ankle to his list of injuries. Limited participation, although, you know, he's out there. And I will say, last week, all the players that were limited and then listed as questionable was about 15 guys all played in the Miami game. So don't get too concerned with these guys that are limited and who will likely be questionable on the Saturday injury report. Sebastian Vollmer, who has the back and knee injury that limited him this past week. He was seemingly a game-time decision, struggled a bit with Cameron Wake after missing Thanksgiving night. He is still limited with that injury. Wes Welker, ankle limited. And Gerard Mayo, elbow, full participation. Paul Perillo, how do you feel about the health status of this team? I know you touched on it a little bit earlier, but heading into, again, I'm going to say it, arguably the Patriots' toughest game this season of all 16, and arguably one of the better games in the American Football Conference this season.
Yeah, I think, listen, clearly the Patriots are at less than full strength. I mean, like everybody else, the Patriots are dealing with significant injuries. Julian Edelman is not a superstar by any means, but he was contributing. We talked about punt returns. That's an issue. Rob Gronkowski, I think, goes without saying. He's one of the most talented players in all of the National Football League. So to not have him, those are significant injuries. But at the same time, you just detailed the injury list. Looks like Chandler Jones is pretty much ready to go. Logan Mankins, if he's practicing, I can't imagine Logan sitting out. I think he's going to go on Monday night.
Tough SOB.
If you look at the last couple of weeks, this might be about as healthy as you've been in a little bit. You had four or five guys who've been missing the last couple of weeks. It looks like you're going to get a couple of those back. So maybe not all bad on the injury front.
Particularly on defense.
Game.
You get Chandler Jones back. Your secondary has remained healthy for a few weeks in a row now. Maybe you're getting a little consistency. Your linebackers are relatively healthy. You know, you still have Cunningham on suspension. But for the most part, you're getting your defense, the core of your defense, together on the football field.
You're dealing with Patrick Chung and Kyle Arrington, the two guys that have been mainstays for your secondary for the last two-plus seasons. And all of a sudden, they're backups.
Just the Emmys? They want us off?
Yeah. I wasn't done. But you can start that music because we're just about ready to wrap this up. Two guys that were mainstays in your starting lineup for the better part of the last three seasons are now backups. They play. I mean, in Arrington's case, he plays a major role. Chung a little bit less so. But to your point, you're a little bit healthier back there and maybe a little bit deeper in the secondary than you've been probably all of 2012, but probably for a couple of years now.
And speaking of mainstays who are now back as backups, Dante Stallworth, a star on the 2007 team, back in a Patriots uniform to help out if Brandon Lloyd disappears, as he did last Sunday in Miami. You may have more options to turn to in the passing game other than just Welker and Hernandez. And as we wrap this up, I leave you with just a taste of a PFW in progress Andy Hart rant. I've heard all week something that I find ridiculous. Arian Foster is one of the most dangerous receivers out of the backfield in the National Football League. Don't know who started this rumor, but it's false.
But he averages
4.6 yards per reception, a ridiculously low number. Does have 30 catches, but three of the last four games, he's had 15 yards receiving. Exactly. That is not dangerous. He's dangerous as a workhorse running back, but not a receiver out of the backfield. So whoever tells you that, tell them they're wrong. Until next week with another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. For Paul Perillo, this Andy Hart rant was brought to you by Christmas. Peace out.
This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, available at over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.